Fellowship. Thing is, we're talking once again Resurrection Sunday, isn't it? And we're ready for that this morning. Yeah. Praise God. Hey, there goes the roof. But okay. Praise God. All right, he is risen. Praise God. That's awesome, isn't it? It's an awesome feeling today. Just today, but you know, it should carry with every day of our life. That's all we have work to do, amen. Ongoing work. So we just bow ahead and join me in prayer this morning. Dear Lord, we're just in awesome of your presence. As humble servants, Father God, just draw us to yourself. I still remember I was thinking about the reading this morning. It talked about Mary Magdalene and Mary were at the gravesite, and who shows up? The angel of the Lord says, yeah, okay, move the rock. Now go in and see. He's not there. That's awesome. Okay. Now go back and tell the disciples on your way to Galilee. And who shows up before it? Jesus. First thing he says, rejoice. Kind of visualize that. It's an awesome thing. And by the time, you know, the things too, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He continues doing the things. He's faithful. See, on that third day, according to the scriptures, he rose from the dead and he ascended into heaven. Intervening, he's with the Father, intervening for each and every one of us, because he's concerned about you. I don't care where you've been, he says. And that's more of a concern this morning. I think God has really spoke to our hearts. I think the people online, or anybody hasn't come to know Lord is Lord and Savior of their life, that is salvation too. So there's a rejoicing in you, Father, what you've done on that cross. I know it was a terrible day on Friday, but you did it for that individual or that family, all of us. Oh, there's so much rejoicing here, so much of an awesome Holy Spirit. And you says two more again in your name. He is right here. He's in the midst, right here. And he will draw you to him, because today is that. And the thing is, you know, all you have to do, and also because he cares about you, is that individual, those people, not yet. More things to come. First thing is starting out. First comes first. You admit you're a sinner. Kidding me? I was a sinner. I didn't know, when he was knocking on my heart, I didn't open that door right away. So I had to suffer in that muck and mire for a while. And then I opened it up. I let him come in. You know, I thanked him to go on the cross for me to take that past, present, future sin. There's no sin that's big enough. You know, he doesn't, you know, the thing is, especially if you're down in that muck and mire, you've got to look, extend his hand out. He says, when you're ready, grasp my hand, pull you out. I had that muck and mire. You're a new creation as you receive me as Lord. And then you ask, Lord, come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord. And you will. He's faithful. But you know, when you're thinking, oh, I've done this, I've done that in my life. God says, I don't care. Let me do the cleanup. I'll clean you up just like cleaning up Tom. Do that. Do that for him. He's a loving God. You know, and I know he passed the mouth, his mind, his heart, his tongue, as the word goes through him like rivers, living water. He's got a message that is anointed, and he's going to tell us, I'm going to share that. Receive what we have to receive today. And you know, on those highways and byways, and I get that individual maybe hasn't quite come. You're just saying, you're probably thinking about it. Look at all the things outside in the world that's going on. Maybe you got issues in your family. Maybe the job is a marriage. There's finances. Everything you can think of. And it says, I can't handle it anymore. Well, God says he's reaching out that hand. He says, you know, you've come to know me, Lord and Savior. He says, okay, cast those to me. I'll walk with you like a friend or a brother. I'll decide, we won't forsake you. I don't forsake you at all. That's one promise. There's many more to come. But you know, the Lord is our strength. We will rejoice and be in it. So we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunities. We thank you for the people that are coming to know you today. Today is that day. That appointed time is now. So if you received him as Lord and Savior, before we praise and worship King of Kings, Lord and Lords, he is so worthy of our praises. Amen. So the thing is, follow up. Touch base with Pastor Matt Worrell. If you want, give him a call. God said all the Bibles here, so he's going to hand one out. But call him. And here, if there's anybody here, you touch base with leadership here. We're going to have, you know, you'll read Blaine's book of life. And the thing is, too, once again, it was a choice. You accept this life or you reject it. Do you know where you're going to go when you die? There's some more questions. It's kind of floating all around here because it's all part of it. But the thing is, too, the man is, he came down as man and he died on the cross for that particular sin, past, present, future sin, once again. And he'll do it for you and he'll clean up. All you have to do is say, and I ask you this question, will you know Christ as Lord and Savior? We ask his name. Amen. Amen.
Praise God from whom all bless all. If you can find your seats. Hallelujah. Let me try this again to find our seats. Praise God. Praise God. A couple of weeks ago, we had the privilege of baptizing 15 people. And last week we handed out some of the certificates, baptismal certificates, and I've got a few left today. So I have one here for Lisa the Cook. What? And I also have one for Tyler. Hey! Congratulations. And Amelia. Yeah. One for you. Now, Jessica. Yeah. Hey.
Yes.
And Aaliyah. Hey, there you go. Now I think I've got everybody. Praise God. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 24. I read a portion of this morning during worship, but I'm going to read it again.
Yay.
Because I'll tell you, if we have a grave that has still got a body in it, then we're, as Paul said, the most pitiable of people. But because the grave is empty, we have a relationship, not if we don't have a religion, but we have a relationship with God, God the Father.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
Why? Because the relationship was opened up for us by the blood that was shed upon the cross.
Right.
Because the privilege of being able to know the Father was handed to us by Jesus on the cross. And it all was cemented as truth when Jesus came out of that grave.
That's right.
Victorious over even death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Paul said the sting of death is sin. But thanks be unto God.
Yes.
Pay the price for your sin and for my sin.
Yes.
Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
Come on, people. Hallelujah for that.
Yes.
We're set for the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Has no more sting to the believer.
Amen.
The believer doesn't fear death. No. Let me rephrase that. The believer should not fear death. Although there are believers that do fear death. You do, okay? It's a real fear. But God did not give you a spirit of fear.
No, he didn't.
But he gave you the spirit of power. And of love, sound mind.
Yes.
You see, fear rob you of sound mindedness.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I see people, they get so captivated by fear, lose their common sense. I've been there. Anybody else been there?
Been there. Yes.
We forget the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. And my goodness gracious, If death could not hold him in the grave, then he's got the power of whatever it is you're fearing.
Yes.
He's got the power over it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we don't have fear. We should not bow. Let me put it that way. We have it that Satan does everything he can to heap it upon us. The only thing that believers to fear is God himself.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And that means to have a high, high, honorable respect for our God the Father, who loved us so much that he gave you and he gave me his Son.
Right.
The best gift he could possibly give.
Yeah.
Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and other women with them came to them, bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord. And it happened as they were perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, 'The Son of Man must be delivered into the sinful men and be crucified, and the day rise again.' And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to be to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened." Marveling to himself.
Right.
See, this morning at the early morning service by the pond at Rick and Jackie's, it was just absolutely beautiful morning out there. It wasn't snowing. It wasn't sleet and freezing like it has many years before. It was, the sun was starting to come out, you know, and even geese came flying over. Yeah, that was really cool. We got to watch them land, you know, on the water. And we sang some old hymns, and thank you, Rob, and thank you, Trent, for leading us in music there. And we just worshiped the Lord. And then Rick shared with some thoughts on meditations on devotionals that he'd been reading. And one of those devotionals, I forget who it was, Max Lucado or was it, that spoke of the fact that rock, that big that covered the tomb, you know, it took men to really push on that to close it up. But it just took an angel to roll it away. But you know, that angel didn't come to roll that stone away to let Jesus out. That stone was rolled away so that the women and Peter could look in. And they could walk in there and see, he ain't here. He is risen. Risen, as he said. I don't care what stone may be in your life. That may be very difficult for you, and maybe even impossible for you to move. Let me tell you something. The risen Lord is very, very able, that stone. Hallelujah for that. Out of that this morning. We are here to celebrate the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're here to celebrate the power of the risen Lord, we're here to celebrate the resurrection from the dead. And Jesus didn't stop with just resurrecting himself, but he has resurrected me from the dead. Hallelujah. He's taken me out of the grave. He's taken me out of darkness and placed me in his marvelous light. Amen. What has he done for you? Has he taken you out of this place, you in his marvelous light? And if it is, then get excited about it.
Amen.
Because why? Because he's that kind of God. That's the power that he has. That's the showing of his you. He loves you so much. He loves that. I don't care what you're involved in right now. I don't care who or whoever's just watching online. We got a pack of people watching online this morning. I don't care what you've been involved in. And I don't care, please understand when I say I don't care, I do care, but for reference sake, I don't care what it is that you are involved in right now. Now, it will never stop Jesus from loving you.
No, it won't.
It will never stop Jesus from trying to get into your life.
Right.
You know, he is really good creation.
Yeah,
even if you don't want him to, he still managed to come in through the back door. And he goes and taps you on his shoulder, and when you're in a place where it's just like everything's going crazy, and you just you're at that place where you don't know what to do, and it seems like all hell's broke loose in your life, and maybe it has.
Yes.
But I will say this: when all hell has broken open in your life, it is because God has allowed it to happen.
That's right.
Because he's to demonstrate his power in your life. To let you know that it does. All hell can break loose in your life, but I'm going to break loose too. And guess who's going to win? Hallelujah. Who thinks going to win? I tell you, I won over 2,000 years ago when I walked out of that grave. Oh, man, I don't know what it would have been like to be there to actually see Jesus walk out of that grave. And there's no testimony in the scriptures of anybody actually seeing it. But I think if I was else in the garden, munching out on some of the veggies that were in there, or some of those really nice flower stems, and all of a sudden, let's see. Jesus come out, but the stone didn't move. He just walked out. What do you hear in here right now? You hear a big hush. And I believe in even as a mouse, to see Jesus just materialize through the rock and stand there in his majesty. There was not a word even this mouse could have said. But just to stand there next to that stem I just bit off of and look, an awesome wonder. Our living God breathed his last on that cross, so to speak. Breathe his last. I came across something the other day that I thought was really, really good. And it's short, but I'm going to read it to you. It fits in right here. Pontius Pilate speaking to Joseph. Joseph, I really don't understand. You're one of the richest men in the region, and you spent a small fortune on a new tomb for you and your family, and you want to give it to this man, Jesus? Joseph responded, it's just for the weekend. Just for the weekend. Hallelujah. He'll be out of it. I'll have that tomb, but I don't plan on using it. If you want his body, when I've used it and I've breathed my last, you want to put me in that tomb, go right ahead. But I'll tell you right now, the one that had it before me left it clean.
Yes.
And he left his power there. and I believe in him. And my body may be brought in that cave, in that, but I'm going to be with the Lord. That's what Jesus said to the man that was on the cross with him, when he cried out to him and he said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." What kingdom? What did you get him today? You're going to experience the resurrection power. You may be hanging on that cross like I'm hanging on a cross in this sheer pain and this sheer agony, but I want to give you some joy in the midst of this tragedy. I want to give you joy in the midst of you receiving your just reward in this life. But I've got some news for you. And when you breathe your last, you're going to be with paradise. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. Yeah. Because you did everything right, but because you did everything wrong except for one thing. Yes. You recognized my lordship in your life. Amen. You realize that thief, that despicable thief, didn't even pray the sinner's prayer.
Or get baptized.
You stay out of this. Not only did he not get baptized, but there's no he even read the scriptures.
Amen.
Nothing in there that said he said the sinner's prayer. There was nothing in there that said that he that he prayed on a regular basis and he had devotions in his life. He said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Sometimes I like the sinner's prayer, okay? What I'm about to say may put me in that category. I like the sinner's prayer because it kind of covers all the bases. But I also know this. Saying the sinner's prayer ain't going to save you if your heart's not in it.
That's right. That's right.
Just like if your heart is in it, whether you say the sinner's prayer or not. If you're with the Lord, if you've given your heart over to the Lord, you're his.
That's right.
That's what happened with that sinner, that thief that was on a cross. Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, just see Jesus looking over to him. Now, if I was Jesus, hanging in that pain, I'd look at the other one and go, "Eh. Sorry, guy, you got to get with the program. You will be with me in paradise." You see, he never said anything to the other one. Didn't even acknowledge him. Sometimes knowledge, the enemy, too much.
That's right.
Sometimes we give him more due, more attention than we need to. Times we just need to look the other way.
That's right.
And just turn our eyes off of the problem, turn our eyes off of the difficulty, and turn our eyes back on Jesus.
Amen.
You know why? Because Jesus has the power of death and the grave.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
That means that his power over death and the grave is now applied to my life. Which means that now I have dwelling with the power over sin and death. The power in me over the grave. Hallelujah. Therefore, I don't fear the fear of death. I don't fear the grave. I'm honest with you. I'm not looking forward to the process. I don't know what the process is going to be like for me. I've been with people where it was long and drawn out. I've been with people where it was short, sweet, to the point when they passed away. I don't know what's going to happen with me, but I do know this, that however that door opens and however it is for me to pass through that, I'm going to pass right into the arms of Jesus.
Right.
That when I stand at that door, I hear him. If I will listen, I can hear him say, "Today, Matthew, you're going to be with me in paradise." Not because of all the good things you did, but because you called me.
That's right.
Because you bow your knee to me. Because you love me. Because you've recognized the love I have for you. See, we're talking, this is resurrection power. We look at the resurrection power, and rightfully so, that Jesus, who was mutilated and then put in the grave, I mean, just the resurrection that he came back to life, it was a creative miracle. Because Isaiah said, in Isaiah 53, he was unrecognizable. He was so tore apart physically, so tore and ripped apart. Cat of nine tails, you know what that is? You know, it's a Roman whip that on the end of every one of those tentacles, there were nine tentacles, at the end of every one was a piece of glass or a piece of bone or chard or something that was tied to the end. So when that came around his waist, then it would let it latch in, then they'd pull it back like that and rip his body apart. Yeah. They did that all over him. Yes. Isaiah said, unrecognizable. And he says in his, I love you with an everlasting love. It lasted through all of what Jesus went through, even before he was put on that cross, before he was nailed on it. It lasted through the whole nine hours, I think it was, that he hung on that cross before he actually died. Love was so everlasting that it was still in force when they took that lifeless body off that grave, off that cross. Buried him into the Joseph's tomb. But Joseph's tomb was only for the weekend. That love for you was so everlasting that when they laid him in that tomb and they sealed it up, they thought it's just over. He came the next morning to do what? To prepare his body for proper burial. Why? Because they gave up. But his love was everlasting. Hallelujah. And when he was in that grave, the scripture says he was in there for 3 days. Am I right?
Yes.
3 days. Now, it was less than three 24-hour periods because of the way the Jewish calendar and the way they tell time was. But it was a Friday night, but early Sunday morning. But since it was Sunday morning, it was considered a day. During that time, Jesus wasn't in suspension. Yeah, he was on the move.
He was on the move.
I believe because the scriptures tells us in Ephesians that he was put down in the grave, also was raised up. But while he was in that grave, he went down into the depths. And you know what I believe he did? He walked over to the devil himself. He tapped him on the shoulder and he said, "You know something? Lose.
Amen.
You lose." Yes. The tomb is empty. Come and see. Aren't you glad that the tomb is empty?
Yes.
You know, there were five attempts to derail the resurrection. Five attempts to it. There are probably more, but I see five in the scriptures. King Herod was one. The old Pontius paranoid Pope. Try saying that three times as fast as you. I had fun when I came up with that. Pontius paranoid POTUS. He was so afraid that there was a king. There was a king. He's the one that the three wise men, and they say, "Where's the king? Where's the king?" King. No. There was one just born. There's a star right there. Oh, really? No, he's thinking of himself. There can't be any other king but me. I don't deal well with the competition. So I'll tell you what I want you to do, O wise men. When you find him, come back and tell me where he is so I can go and worship him too. And they found him. Then God said to the wise men, what they say, go back a different way. Don't go back to that pompous Herodotus. Don't go back to him. So they didn't. And Pilate realized what had happened. And he had been deceived. Oh, can you imagine that? The deceiver was deceived. And he ended up doing what? Murdering all the babies from 2 years old and under in Bethlehem and the whole surrounding area. But prior to the days before that, let Joseph know that the pompous, paranoid Pontius is going to try and kill this baby. Your son, my son, my son, taken down to Egypt. So he did. You see, God's plan always excels. It didn't happen. There was no derailing of the resurrection. Satan the deceiver came in Matthew chapter 4, 1 through 11, where he came and he said, and Jesus had been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And the deceiver, Satan, came to him knowing that Jesus was hungry. He even said he was hungry. You try fasting for 40 days. I made it past 10 days once. And I'll tell you, I would have eaten in a glass of this pulpit. I was so hungry. Oh, man, I tell you. Even lentil stew would have looked good. I can't stand lentils. So Satan said, I know who you are. I know the power you have. All you have to do is to speak to these stones and they'll turn into bread. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. You see, Satan did everything he could to try and derail the resurrection. He did everything he could to get Jesus to bow to him. He even took him up on a pinnacle and said, look at all the kingdoms of the world. All of these I have the authority to you. If you will but just bow down and worship me. Just once. That's all it will take. Just one time and you can have it all. And Jesus said, you shall worship the Lord your God only, and him only. You see, he tried to get Jesus to sin. And this man, as a man, knew no sin. The scripture is very clear about that. But tried to cause him to sin. You see, the devil can't make you do anything. He can't twist your arm behind your back and force you to do anything. When you sin, when I sin, I'll leave you out of it, okay? I know you're all heavenly saints. But I'll just talk about me. When I sin, it is because I chose to. I'll be point honest with you. I am a sinner. I fall short of the glory of God. If you don't believe me, ask Kathy. She'll tell you. But I will also tell you, she's a sinner too. Saved by grace. Hallelujah. And when she sins, or when I sin, we say, come to God, seek his forgiveness, is graceful. And he forgives us of our sin and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we have that. But see, Jesus couldn't sin, because if he did, then he would not be the sacrificial lamb of God to take away our sins. Because the only way he could take it away is if he was sinless. Which he was when he entered that grave. Hallelujah. And he resurrected from it. All right, the chief, the Sanhedrin, Palm Sunday, Luke chapter 19. Wicked and secure men that they, and they said to Jesus, as he's coming to Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, and everybody's going, hallelujah, hallelujah, and they're rejoicing over him. The one time. And all of the scriptures prior to that, this is the first time that Jesus openly received the people's worship. Every other time he said, no, not yet. You need to see the Father. Look to the Father. You got to understand, though, that in order to get to him, you got to come through me. But that one time, when he's coming down on a donkey, he openly received the worship of the and the Sanhedrin said, rebuke your disciples. Rebuke them. Stop them. See, that in itself would have been a sin for Jesus to stop the people from worshiping him. And what did Jesus say to them? If I was to have them silent, the very stones will cry out. They won't cry out, as we learned last week. They won't cry out in worship. They'll cry out in an open rebuke to you for silencing God's people. There's going to come a time when this world's going to face an open rebuke from the Holy Spirit of God for trying to silence God's people. We win. I know. I read the back of the book. Right now I'm in the middle of the book. I'm in the middle of the heat of the battle. And sometimes when you're in the heat of the battle, you don't see the victory. That's why it's so important to know the Word of God. Because in the back of the book, it says that we win. It says that we're all victorious. Serve the risen King. Hallelujah. Yep. He's victorious and he dwells within me. And me, then I'm victorious too. I may not act like it all the time. I may not believe it all the time. I may not look like it all the time. But that doesn't take away from the sheer fact that I am victorious in Christ. I am not a victim. I am not a victim. I am victorious. There's too many people in the body of Christ walking around going, I am a victim, I am a victim, I am a victim, I am a victim. You know what they did to me? That person did to me. And what they made me miserable. And I just don't know what to do about it. And so sick and tired of what they did in my life. And I just have to live with this for the rest of my life. And no, you don't. You don't.
No, you don't.
The devil will come. You have to. It's like the devil tried to convince Jesus to worship him. See, when I am going, I'm saying all that about people who did me in and did me wrong, and I just have to live with this for the rest of my life. What you're doing is worshiping the devil. His way. Backdoor worship. Let me tell you something. You are victorious. You have Jesus Christ dwelling within your heart, then you are victorious.
Amen.
And it's time for God's people to say, I have victory in Jesus. Whatever that is that keeps trying to drag you down, you need to go over and put your feet on it. And make the proclamation, I am victorious. You have no place in my life. You have no power in my life anymore. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm not going to worship the enemy, because when I allow you to have that power over me, that's what I'm doing, is worshiping the enemy. I'm going to worship God and God alone. And in order to do that, it means I need to put you in your place. I am not your victim. I am God's victorious man of God. I am God. I am the victorious woman of God. Hallelujah. You are a man or a woman that is victorious. You are not a victim. Now I get off my soapbox on that. Many ways that the devil, I told you there was five of them. I don't even know where I am in my notes now. Simon Peter, unknowns to him, operated in the flesh, that could have derailed the resurrection. When they came to arrest Peter, arrest Jesus in the garden, what did Peter do? Grabbed a sword. I'm going to defend my Lord. And he went and he took a swipe at the high priest's servant and cut his ear off. Now some of you go, wow, that was really something. You know what that says to me? He was a lousy swordsman. I'm standing right there. He's defending his Lord. He's got his sword. The sword was about this long. And all you could do is cut his ear off. Well, think about it. That's really, really pretty bad. That's like if a deer was sitting right here, and I've got a 30-30, and I go like this, I put a hole in his ear. That's a pretty poor shot. If he wasn't going to eat him, I'm going to eat the deer. Billy knows what I'm talking about. Yeah, oh, my goodness gracious. I tell you, you guys get me off on these rabbit trails.
Yeah, it's our fault.
Yeah, it's all your fault. It is. Thank you. Cut his ear off. What a lot of people don't understand, you know, when Jesus came over to him, he says, even this to happen, healed that servant's ear. Creative miracle, create a new ear there. I don't think he picked it up, ear up off the ground, dusted it off and went, spit on it, stuck it back to his head. He created a new ear. He healed him. And you know why? Because for Peter to attack the high priest's servant was a capital punishment. I just read this a couple weeks ago. It was fascinating to me to read that. Jesus knew it was a capital punishment. You know what capital punishment meant?
Yeah.
Capital punishment means it means use your life for the crime you just committed.
Exactly.
When Jesus healed that man's ear, two things happened. Number one, he blessed that servant. Because it really wasn't the servant's problem. He was there as a slave of the high priest. But the second thing that happened was that Jesus got rid of all the evidence. And Peter couldn't be charged.
Except maybe the ear on the ground.
Yeah, but the servant stand in there for the whole... So you have to ask the question, where'd the ear come from? Where'd the ear come from?
DNA test.
The fact is he got rid of the evidence. He couldn't be charged because there's no crime. God is so good. Jesus said, "Put your sword away, because if you don't live by that thing, you're going to die by it." I need to follow through with this, Peter. All the way to the resurrection. If we stop now, and you prevent me from being arrested, there'll be no crucifixion. If there's no fiction, there'll be no resurrection. This must come to pass. Leave it alone, Peter. Then you have Pontius Pilate. Jesus was brought before Pontius Pilate. And even Pilate's wife counseled him, don't have anything to do with this guy. I suffered in a dream last night.
Yeah.
I suffered so much in a dream last night. I have nothing to do with this guy. And Pontius Pilate may have been the... But he wanted to live to listen to her. It might have been the only time in his life he ever listened to her. I don't know. It doesn't say. I don't know what their relationship was as husband and wife. But she came to him and said, "You don't have anything to do with him. Because whatever comes your way because of him and how you deal with it, I'm going to have to suffer it too. I have nothing to do with him." So Pilate said in John chapter 18, verse 31 and 32, Pilate said to them, "You take him and you judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put to death." Right there, they're telling Pilate exactly what their intent was. "But we can't do that. It's against the law for us to put this man to death. Only you can do that." Who said that? What'd you say? Yeah, but that was different. That was just out of a fit of anger, you know. And nobody else was around.
Yeah.
But they missed.
Yeah.
Bad shot again. In Luke chapter 23, verse 6 and 7, when Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked if the man were Galilean, and as soon as he knew that he had belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, because Herod happened to be in Jerusalem at the time. Sent him to Herod. But Herod sent him back. I mean, Pilate couldn't get rid of this guy. He figured he'd just get him out, send him over to Herod. It's his problem, not mine. And he sent him back. In chapter 19, verses 1 and verse 4, so then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Pilate then went out again and said to them, all the people, he says, "Behold, I'm bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no fault in him." Pilate is trying to get out of this. I find no fault in him. But what did they do? Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. So Pilate washed his hands, literally a bowl of water, and washed his hands, a ceremonial act of, this is not my problem, this is yours. I wash my hands of this man, you take him and do with him as you please. He gave them permission to go ahead and crucify him. But God's plan always excels. All the above was to defeat the sole purpose of the crucifixion and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So, why did Jesus come in the first place? Because there is sin in the camp. What camp? His camp. His creation. Why did he live amongst us? Because there is sin in the camp. He came down to us and he dwelt among those sinners to show, not that he would just hobnob with them, not that he just would turn the other cheek and look the other way and let them do what they wanted to do. He came down to show them that as God, he loves them so much that he will meet them right where they're at.
That's right. That's right.
Listen to me. You don't have to clean your life up to come to God. If you will just understand, as you are sitting in that chair right now, you may have your life may be all messed up. You may be doing things that you shouldn't be doing. You know you shouldn't be. Guess what? God's sitting right next to you with his arm around you saying, come to me. You are heavily laden and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. I won't give you peace in your sin. I'll give you the rest that will get you out of that sin and bring you into my marvelous light. Hallelujah for that. Why was he falsely accused? Because of the sin in the camp. Why crucified? Because there was sin in the camp. Why was he, being a dead man, taken off the cross and placed in the grave? Because there was sin in the camp. But the beauty about the resurrection, and I will close with this thought. Why was he resurrected? Because he beat the chains of hell and took the power of the sin that is in the camp and sealed it in the grave. He didn't put sin in the grave. He put the power of sin in the grave.
That's right.
Then sealed it. Hallelujah. You know what that's saying? As I'm saying, because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, sin has no power over you. The only power it will have over you is the power you give it.
That's right.
The only power that sin can have over you is the power you hand it. And if you hand it to him, you also have the power to take it back. Hallelujah. We all have been guilty of handing over the power of sin to the devil in our life. Well, we also have the power to take it back.
Right.
Why? Because greater is he who lives in me than he who lives in the world. Because the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ dwells within me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And because power dwelling within me, that means I have power over the enemy.
Right.
It may be a fight. It may be tooth and nail fight right up to the day I die. But stop fighting. There are times it's a battle, but I'm going to win the war. There may be times when the skirmish is getting me down, and I may feel pushed down and just diminished down to almost a nothing. But I'll tell you, God has resurrection power. And time again in my life, He has taken me when I've gotten down into the dust of the ground, and He's resurrected me back up.
Yes.
And He's put my feet back on the ground, and He has said to me, okay, Matthew, you messed up, you sinned, I forgive you, let's do it again. Come on, let's try this again. Come on, I am your Father, I am your Creator, I am your Maker, and I am the one who instilled my power in you. So come on, let's find the key to unlock that power that I have put in you. And I want to unlock that power in you so that you can flow with me in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Hallelujah for that. Praise God. Praise God for that. Ooh, hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy today. Why? Because of the resurrection. Paul was very, very clear. Very clear. Now I forget where it was. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. He says, if there is no, in fact, turn with me there. And this is my second closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read, starting at verse 12. Now, if Christ is preached, has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Now, we may not say there's resurrection, no resurrection, but sometimes we live that way. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is risen, then our preaching is empty, and our faith is also empty. In other words, if there's no resurrection of the dead, why am I standing here? Blowing hot air. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He has raised Christ up, whom He did not raise up, if the dead do not rise. And if the dead rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Please understand. It's not just the cross. The cross is very, very necessary. But so is the resurrection. They're equally necessary. You have to have the two coupled together. 2 + 2 = 4 does not equal 3. You know what I mean? You have to have the cross, and you have to have the empty tomb. If you have the cross and a filled tomb, then we got a problem. If you got an empty tomb but no cross, we got a problem. The two have got to come together. Verse 16, for if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is in your faith that is futile, you are still in your... Then also those who have asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. And that word pitiable in a Greek means full of misery and wretchedness. But I love verse 20. But now, say that with me, but now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Hallelujah. But Christ is risen from the dead.
Yes.
Praise God for that. Let's stand up and praise God this morning. He is risen from the dead.
Yes.
And we are no longer slaves of sin. We're no longer slaves of unrighteousness. We're a people that have been set free.
Yes.
Say, I am victorious.
I am victorious.
I am not a victim.
I am not a victim.
I refuse to be a victim.
I refuse to be a victim.
I choose to be victorious.
I choose to be victorious.
I will be victorious.
I will be victorious.
In Christ Jesus from this day forward. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless you. We praise your holy name. We thank you, Lord. We praise you.
Yes.
Lord, I just bless these people this morning. As we celebrate your graciousness, we celebrate your resurrection power, we celebrate you, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yes.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you.
Yes, Father.
That the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and then he give you peace.
Yes.
The peace that surpasses all
yes.
understanding that will guard your heart,
yes.
your mind through Jesus.
Jesus,
yes. the risen King of kings and Lord of lords.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Oh, everybody, just say, I believe in Jesus. I receive Jesus. Right now, as my Lord. As my Savior. I confess my sins. I turn from my sins. And I turn to you, Lord. I receive you as my Lord and Savior today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. If you need prayer, come on up. We're going to close with a song. There is no fellowship hour afterwards because I know families get togethers and all that stuff this afternoon. I pray that you will celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ today. God is good. He loves you with an everlasting love. I don't know what else to say. I've said a lot this morning. But I do want, if there's anything you get out of this message today, please understand this. Jesus went through everything he went through for the divine and an express purpose to draw you to himself.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.